Hey guys, today our group will be talking about cultural appropriation, specifically from the lens of music, clothing, and hairstyles. We will be looking at things in current society and in history. We hope you enjoy.
Hey guys! Welcome to our podcast about cultural appropriation. I'm Meredith.
And I'm Nicholas. And so today we're specifically talking about cultural appropriation through the lens of music, in the world of music and stuff like that. So for any of you who don't know, cultural appropriation is the adoption of elements of one culture by members of another culture. Now, when you're thinking about that, you might think, well, that's not necessarily that bad because you're passing around like elements of one culture to another. So then it's not necessarily bad and you're just sharing and loving. But that's where we create a differentiation, because there's cultural appropriation and then cultural appreciation, which they both, appreciation just means taking the time to learn about other cultures through like a respectful manner. Basically, they mean the same thing. It's just appropriation has a negative connotation and appreciation is positive. So when we're talking about cultural appropriation through the lens of music, it's when white artists steal, or a specific example would be that white musicians stealing music from black musicians, and then the white artist getting all the praise and credit for it, and then the black artist is forgotten.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to add that appreciation, there's a level of respect that comes from the person who is taking the time to learn about it, and it's they're creating with a level of care to the original source material. And appropriation, when I personally think of somebody appropriating something, it's more in a disrespectful manner with little to no regard to the original creator's work. So let's talk about the origins of rock and roll, because I think that's very important to this conversation. Rock and roll is American music. And it came from styles of music that had preceded it, as all music does. The specific genres that culminated into rock and roll becoming a thing are blues, jazz, country, and R&B. And these genres emerge from very specific events and movements of people, both physical and cultural. The most important of which is the transatlantic slave trade, which occurred when Africans were taken from their homes to Europe and to America, but more specifically to the Americas during the 1600s. And this resulted in the mingling of European cultures and African cultures. And even though Europeans viewed African cultures as more primitive and less important, the two styles of music, the classical and the rhythmic, blended together to create what we now know as modern music. And this has obviously developed in many ways since then. But I think it's important that we know the origins of what we're talking about before we dive into this conversation. And it's also very important to note that a lot of the pioneers of these genres were black musicians. I think that a common misconception that comes about is that the only pioneers of rock and roll are Elvis, and then like if you want to say like maybe if you really want to bring in another genre, you'll bring in like country and say like, oh, Johnny Cash contributed to the emergence of rock and roll. But a lot of people ignore the fact that blues and jazz, without it, we would not have rock and roll. We just wouldn't have the emotional significance behind it. We wouldn't have we wouldn't have the musicality of rock and roll. It just wouldn't, it would not be the same without blues and jazz, which were primarily created by black musicians. And now we're going to go back to what Nicholas was talking about at the beginning, appropriation and appreciation. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about white musicians stealing music from black musicians throughout the years, with two very solid examples of this happening. We all love Led Zeppelin. I think America loves their loves their white rock bands. And you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I'm a sucker for a really good guitar riff. I'm a sucker for like 10-minute songs with like 3-minute interludes in between everything. I am a sucker for that. And Led Zeppelin, great band, made some great music, but it's also very important to acknowledge that they famously took music from blues musicians and did not credit them. They did this many times, but the most famous example is when they took direct lyrics from You Need Love, written by Willie Dixon, sung by Muddy Waters, and incorporated the lyrics into their song Whole Lotta Love. And I don't think this would have been too much of a problem if they had credited the musicians and given them a portion of the profits, but they did not do that. So Dixon sued in 1985. It was settled out of court and he's now listed as a co-writer, but it still goes to show how often and how easily and how quickly it's done and the damage that it does. Because in music, it's not very easy to strike it rich. You can be writing songs for people and not getting like a lick of money. And when someone comes along who has more social power than you and more power in the industry than you do and takes your material, it's going to hurt you. There's going to be a negative outcome for you. Robert Plant, the musician from Led Zeppelin who first laid down the lyrics and took them for a Whole Lotta Love, said about the situation, and quote, "I was just thinking, what am I going to sing? That was it, a nick, now happily paid for. At the time, there was a lot of conversation about what to do. It was decided that it was so far away in time and influence that, well, you only get caught when you're successful. That's the game." And I think it's important to acknowledge that the songs, I'm pretty sure, are only like, they're less than 10 years apart. So it's not like this, you know, a song that was passed down through generations, as Robert Plant is kind of making it out to be. And that's not great. Now, Nicholas is going to be talking about the 1980s.
So now when you talk about, like, why is cultural appropriation a problem in music? Well, it's because the simple fact is MTV, which is a popular, like, format from the 80s that would show popular music videos from, like, popular artists, they famously shut out black musicians who were making popular music that people were listening to, so it doesn't make sense because they make money and they would give you money and views, so there's really no reason to not show them. And so one artist, and now MTV, they did describe themselves as primarily more rock based rather than like hip hop or something. But when you think about that, there are very much popular black musicians who contributed to rock, like specifically Prince is one musician, and I wouldn't say that Prince is rock and roll, but you can definitely have the influence. And when you're talking about MTV, they showed people like Madonna and stuff, so it's really not that far-fetched to have someone like Prince when his music very much fits in to popular music video, like showing his music videos on this platform. So David Bowie famously, he asked Mark Goodman, who is like one of the founding video curators from MTV, asked him in an interview in 19 1983, asked him why there were so few black artists featured on MTV, and what Mark Goodman replied was, end quote, that's the direction we're trying to move in. We play artists that seem to be making music that we want to play on MTV. We not only have to satisfy the needs of NYC and LA, but Poughkeepsie and the Midwest, who would be scared to death by artists like Prince. So when you think about that, he said on an interview that we will not show black musicians because we do not want to scare white people.
Mm-hmm. There's just like there's a willingness to be complicit with like racism in music that was already going on, and it's also really upsetting because this is just, it's just as we explained, like rock and roll has direct roots in black culture. And now, as we see in the 1980s, black people are being shut out from the genres that they basically created. They're being shut out from the acclaim. They're being shut out from the recognition and the money from, you know, of the genres that they pioneered. And it's really blatant, and it's like, I would say that I'm surprised, but I'm not really surprised because we still see stuff like this going on, especially now that like rap and hip-hop has become more popular over the years. We see like white rappers
like Iggy Azalea, maybe like Bad Baby,
Bad Baby, my queen, oh my god.
No, and they just like, it's because they like or like Miley Cyrus when she,
oh yeah, that's like, a good, in her 2013 album Bangers,
like in the VMAs when she like basically, was it, yeah, the 2013 VMAs where she basically acted like she invented twerking, and all of the media acted like this was this new dance, and she didn't really deny it. She just acted like, yeah, I did it first.
Mm-hmm. And it just, it's so ridiculous to me how people act like this kind of exists in a bubble. Like, I feel like when we talk about cultural appropriation, oftentimes we talk about style and hair and clothes and important, which are very important, and we have to talk about these things. I don't deny that, but it pervades every aspect of our society. Like it actually has it is deeply rooted in so many things that we consume. Like, it's unavoidable at times, and it's important that we discuss it not only in like the things that we wear and the things that we say, but the things that we listen to, because that's just, it's everywhere. It's so
important. So now we're talking with Jen and Mikey about cultural appropriation within fashion community and about hair. So what type of cultural appropriation do you see within society / everyday, more specific to fashion and hair?
I think a lot of the cultural appropriation that I see is like white women will go to like the Caribbean or something, and then they'll have this like revelation about themselves and decide to be crunchy and get like and get like locks or get like those like little like twisty braids, like, yeah, from their like bands. Cruise from the Bahamas, and it's really upsetting because they just take that aspect of our culture, like Rastafaris and everything, and sort of like hollow it down and make it seem that it's sort of like an act or it's sort of a costume that you can play, when the Rastafari like culture is something that's like really rich from where I'm from. And it's kind of upsetting because when you see a lot of like white people doing that, they're sort of like, they'll post like, or wait, this is sort of connected, but like if a white woman has like a big butt or something, or if a white woman like looks good in something that's usually like pertaining to black or Caribbean culture, they'll be like, why do we need black women anyway? Like, why do we need Caribbean women? So,
what is your perception of cultural appropriation within fashion and society?
Wait, but that's not what I'm gonna answer.
I know, that's why I think she should just like.
He's gonna talk about anything.
Okay, I'm gonna talk about anything? Okay. So I see a lot of cultural appropriation within the gay community, specifically among like black gays and white gays. And I feel like black gays have been, like black men and female and non-binary and all of the sort, gay people have been left out of the, like the LGBT movement over the past like few years. And I feel like a lot of the white gay culture kind of derives from like black women or like black gays. So.
Okay. Now we're interviewing Elias.
Hi, my name is Elias. I'm 16 years old.
Thanks,
Austin,
Elias. Okay.
Okay, great.
What can we do to educate people on how not to be problematic?
I think when people act overly problematic with regards to cultural appropriation, there really is no repercussions. A lot of white girls go around the school wearing like bandanas and stuff, but I have a lot of black friends who wear bandanas and get in trouble for it because it's gang affiliated. So I think eliminating any double standards that we have is a start, and you know, putting people in check when they do something wrong that's culturally appropriating or offensive.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we hope you learned some valuable lessons on cultural appropriation, which has been very relevant in our history and is still relevant in our society today. So thank you very much for listening. Bye.